This morning, I'm going to just kind of give you some things I've gleaned from the scriptures that were given to us regarding the fast for our nation. There were six different scriptures, and I'm going to go through each one, and I just want to share my thoughts. It doesn't mean they're definitive thoughts. You might be gleaning other things if you've been reading through them and checking them out. So let's just pray and we'll go through those. Father, I just want to thank you again for being faithful to be present with us always. And your manifest presence with us today and just leading us and encouraging us to come before you and to have your gospel fully cleanse us and fully affect us, Lord. I thank you for that. And may your word here just continue that process, I ask, in Jesus' name. And if you ever want these scriptures, I can give you a copy of my notes, or you can get a copy of the announcement that's out there on the table that's got the list of scriptures. Anyway, the first scripture is in Isaiah 43. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. So Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. It says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." Now often we hear that statement that God's going to do a new thing. But I would like for us just to turn back a little bit to see what that new thing that he's actually talking about. So turn to Isaiah 42, verses 6 through 9. It says, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare a new thing before they spring forth and proclaim them to you." So there again, the new thing is being stated. And what is it talking about? He says, "The Lord, I have called you." He's talking about Christ. I don't know if your versions have that in capital. My NAS does. "In righteousness, I will hold you by the hand. I will watch over you." He's talking about the Messiah. He's going to be a light to the nation. He's going to open blind eyes to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. We all know that, right? And so the new thing, from my perspective, has already come. And just like was spoken by Tim, that new thing is still having an effect. It's still going forward. Even if we haven't fully received that which was new, there are still things that God is doing. He's still bringing forth that same truth over and over again. He's continually giving us more and more revelation as to what that is. Here's a couple of more scriptures, Isaiah 35, 3-6. "Encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble, say to those with anxious heart, take courage. Fear not, for behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy, for waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah." It's not just describing exactly what Jesus did when he came. He came out of the desert after being tempted, and then he just began his ministry in touching people's hearts. Jeremiah 31, everybody knows this, 31:31-33. "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's the new covenant. To me, that's what the new thing is. It's the new covenant that God made with Jesus himself. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and all things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So I say all that to say something that we discussed on Saturday at the men's meeting. We were talking about the gospel of the kingdom coming. And there was a note that in Iran itself, it appears there's come to be a million believers in the nation of Iran. Now here's a nation that is opposing Israel and is propagating terror throughout the world, but that's the government. It's not the people. It's not really the nation themselves. When God speaks of nations, he's talking about the people. He's not talking about the governmental systems. And this new thing is coming to Iran. This new thing is coming to the campuses in the United States. How many things have we seen recently over the past year where campuses are just, God's just igniting his spirit upon people. They're being saved. There's thousands of people being baptized all over the place. These huge baptismals they're having on the West Coast and different places. And even Saturday, we were talking about this new thing is coming to customers at Panera Bread. John Ellis was sharing with us how they're having the opportunity to speak the gospel to people that are in Panera Bread. The same thing's happening with my son in his tattoo shops. He's preaching the gospel to these people that are laid out with needles going in and out of their skin, and he's talking to them about the Lord. And right here, family members are coming. Right, Cheryl? Family members are coming. It's a new thing. It's still here. And Lucas. Okay, hallelujah. And now applying this to our government, but many of the cabinet positions have been appointed to Christians. I don't know if you realize that. Many of the appointees. So it's something that God is returning to our government. We know that our government was based on biblical principles, but that's just biblical principles written on paper, but it has to do with the men's hearts, whether or not those things will be carried through. And we've seen over the years, as men's hearts have drifted from the truth, we've seen our nation drifting from the truth. And now there are going to be more leaders that have the fear of the Lord, and we're going to begin to see that new things spring forth in our government. And I'm just very grateful for that. So the second verse is in Isaiah 50. Let's turn to Isaiah 50. Now the verses we're given were Isaiah 50 verse 4 and verses 7 through 8, but I'm going to put them all together in context, and I'm going to read 54 through 10. Okay? The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me, and I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will... is that it? No, through 10. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord God and rely on his God. You know, that word throughout the beginning where it says me and my is talking about Christ. He is the one who gave his back to be whipped. And he's the one who they plucked out his beard and they spat upon him and they cursed him. It is he who set his face like flint, and he did not turn back. He was faithful to the call of God, and I believe that that's exactly what God is calling us to do. If we're being conformed to the image of Jesus, then we too, in our calling, whether it's personal or corporate, we need to be faithful to the things that God has called us to do and set our face like flint. Philippians 2:5-8. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Lord, help us to set our faces like flint to your individual and corporate call and purpose. Help us to be faithful in the midst of prosperity, poverty, peace, persecution. Help us not to be drawn to the temporal things of this world, but rather help us to keep our eyes fixed on the eternal things above. Our nation needs to see once again a people content and willing to lay down their lives one for another. That's what they need to see. People's hearts need to be changed, not necessarily the laws. Second Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulty, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. Thank you, Jesus. Let us set our faces like flint to the things that God has called us to. Our culture right now just goes wherever it goes. It just goes on things on a whim. It's like, oh, let's do this. And they go without thinking, without doing, without understanding. And they wind up becoming destroyed. Okay, the third section of Scripture, Isaiah 61, which was quoted by Tim. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. See, the end result is that God is glorified in all of these things. And we know that these verses speak of Jesus. Jesus himself quoted these, and it said it was being fulfilled in their midst in that day. He was anointed to bring, to bind up, to proclaim, to comfort, to grant, and to give. And so are we. That's our call. Our call is to have an effect on this world. Not just the governing laws, like I said. A lot of times people change their minds not because of laws, but because of what they see in others. And if they see foolishness, a lot of times, like myself when I was younger, I just followed the fools. And was it not for God's mercy, I probably would have been dead three times over for the foolish acts and things that I did. I'm sure others here can attest to similar things. But now, I want to be different. We all want to be different. We want to represent that which is eternal, that which is not going to fade away. These nations can come and go, laws come and go, but the kingdom of God is eternal. And so, Lord, I ask right now in Jesus' name that you would bring healing. That you would bring healing to the United States of America. Lord, this country needs to be healed. The nations need to be healed. They need to be brought the gospel of truth. They need to be bound up for all their issues. They need comfort. They need so many things which you provide through us. And be glorified in the midst of this, Lord. That's the end result, is that you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is glorified. Not any one nation, but you yourself. Lord, as our nation makes the coming political change, help us to yield ourselves to become available to whom and who, whatever you call us to. Father, make us sensitive to those around us that may be adversely affected by the governmental changes that are getting ready to be implemented. The Lord's intent is to bring healing to the nations, including the United States of America. So he will be glorified. The fourth section of Scripture, turn to Ephesians chapter 5.
Excuse me one second.
This is Ephesians 5, starting in verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I sensed the emphasis was, awake, wake up. And it's interesting, Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus. I believe he's speaking to both Jews and Gentiles, because in this whole book, he's talking about the Jew and Gentile and how God's bringing them together as one, and they're having conflicts. And then if we go back, let's just go back here to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So Paul is giving instructions here, basically on how to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, right? Let's go to verse 17. So this I say, affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. So he's pointing out that the Gentiles were futile. And he says, I don't want you walking like that. Now, he could be speaking to Gentiles that have come out, and saying, don't walk in your former manner of life. But he also could be talking to the Jews themselves, because a lot of the Jews were beginning to just practice the same things that the Gentiles were doing. But they were covering it all up with their religious system. And when Jesus came, he exposed it all. So he says, do not walk anymore like the Gentiles. And then he goes into showing the source of their condition. And then let's verse 22. He says, in reference to the former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted, in accordance with the lusts and deceit. We're going to go through 25, okay? And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on a new self with the likeness of which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So he's talking about taking things off and putting things on. Again, he's talking about our character traits, he's talking about our deeds, and he's just speaking to those particular issues. So now, when we go back to chapter 5, what he's saying here, to me, makes more sense. So let's read it again. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. He's talking about the Gentiles. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. In other words, we're going through a learning process. It just doesn't happen overnight. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, wake up! How many times has the Lord told me, Paul, would you wake up? It's right here. Why are you doing it again? And that's what our nation needs. It needs an awakening. Even the church, in many ways, we need to be woken up. The awakening is the revelation to make life changes in our thinking and behavior. Laying aside the old self, putting on the new. This process of being conformed to the image of Jesus causes Christ to shine on us and therefore become children of light. So the scripture is saying, wake up and be a light. And we say, yes, Lord, we'll light with you. No, ride with you. Lord Jesus, awaken this nation. Awaken the church in this nation, Lord. That we would put on the new self, Lord. Not just by word, but in deed and conviction. Put on a new self, Lord. You've given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You've given us your Holy Spirit that enables us to do everything you've called us to do. Let us be faithful and respond to that. Just like David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. His soul didn't want to bless the Lord, but he told his soul, his body, his flesh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Wake up, church. The fifth scripture. How are we doing, okay? Ephesians. We're going to stay in Ephesians now. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Now, what precedes there is a description of all the armor. And I'm going to make this really quick. Gird your loins with truth, put on a breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, taking up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Then it says, be on the alert. And then it says, pray, prayer and petition for the saints, and prayer for the utterance of the gospel. But the first six pieces, the truth, Jesus is the truth. the breastplate of righteousness, Jesus is my righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, Jesus is the good news. Taking up the shield of faith, my faith is in Jesus. Taking up the helmet of salvation, Jesus is my salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, the Word, Jesus is the Word that was made flesh. So do we have to keep putting on Jesus, or I don't think it's like going to bed every night and getting up every morning. You have to get there and put on Jesus, you know. But I think for me, it's just a mindset to know who you're clothed with. Galatians 3:24, it says, therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendants according to the promise. I think what the Lord is saying to me and what he's saying to the church is to us to know our identity. Our identity is fully in Christ. And when we know that and we walk that out, we become spiritual warfare. We don't have to say, is my helmet on? Are my feet? We don't have to think about it in that way. Just, if I have Christ, we are prepared. Because he's all those things for us. But like Tim was saying, sometimes there's these areas where we have doubts. Sometimes we have doubts. Am I really righteous? You know, I fell last night, or I did something stupid, or I yelled at my wife. You know, yes, I'm still righteous, but I'm in the process of becoming conformed to the image of Jesus. I am holy. I am saved. So back to what we spoke about, the awakening before. This is part of the awakening and right thinking of who we are in Christ. We are spiritual warfare because we are clothed in Christ Jesus. So therefore, we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He tried to rattle Vera and my cage yesterday. My goodness, just like out of nowhere, we just started getting into it. I had to stop and just hold her hand and realize that he's not going to succeed. The gates of hell will not prevail against. They will not. Unless, of course, we give it to them. Say, you know. The sixth section, Second Chronicles. Let's turn to Second Chronicles. This is a great, great little story. Second Chronicles chapter 20. So this has to do with King Jehoshaphat. And there was these armies coming against him, and basically said, we're toast. We can't do this. And so they assembled everybody together. And so starting in verse 13, it says, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. This was a whole community event, calling out upon God. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, and said, listen, all Judah. He's now prophesying. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. And do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. Now the Lord didn't always do this. There were times when the Lord said, go and take them, right? The kings that were just before God, they sought the Lord, and the Lord said, go get them, or he said, don't. And this is a time when the Lord said, the battle's not yours. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to continue reading, but I forgot to put the marker here. Excuse me? Yeah, no, I know that. All right, I'm just going to read it. I'll just continue reading. I was trying to limit the amount of reading. Anyway, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of the Korathites and the sons of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people and he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in the holy attire, as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and so they were rooted. Worship. God didn't say to send the singers out. He just said go down and face them. God had never told David to bring worship into the house or the sanctuary, but he did, and God was pleased with it. They went down there, they faced the enemy, and they were praising Jesus. Yeah. They were praising God. I've seen that often in this past couple of years. There's been a couple of groups that would just go out. They would set up shop and just start worshiping the Lord. We've seen a lot of that happen in Mexico. They would just go into the town square, because every city had a town square where the church was. Yeah, there are certain things that God calls us to do, and there are times when he just says, leave it to me. And that's exactly what happened from my perspective with this election that we just went through. It was in the Lord's hand. And the reason it changed is because I believe men's hearts changed. Because when you look at the numbers and the figures, there was so much more money put into the opposition, and it failed. They were doing everything that they could possibly do. But it was the hearts of men who began to see the truth. And the truth changed their heart, and it changed the outcome of our elections. And that's because of faithful believers. They stood for the truth. They didn't back down. Even Donald Trump himself, after attempts of his life, he just stood up and said, we're moving on. And he had a revelation that God had called him. And it was that gunshot that woke him up. It really was. He's working all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But it's not about our government. It's not about our government. It's not about any of the governments. It's about the kingdom of God. His kingdom is not of this world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Jesus is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is above all things. And we represent the kingdom of God in our nation. And like I said before, the nations are the people within the country. It's not the government form or the laws. It's the people. And there are going to be remnants of God's people in every nation, even though governmentally, they're all going to come against his purpose. But it's going to be the remnants, not remnants, the remnants. Thank you. I know Vera's saying, that's not how you say it. There's the remnant. Is that correct? Remnant, not remnant. See, in the back of my mind, there was a correction there. I said, where did that come from? I looked at Bureau. I know exactly where it came from. Let's turn to Psalm 33. I'm coming to a close soon. Psalm 33, starting in verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. He gathers the waters to the sea together in a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsels of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart are from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, a people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. Lord Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in increasing measures in our nation. Lord, we have seen the faults, and many of us have participated in those faults even before we were saved. So, Lord, we put ourselves in the process here of being conformed. And if there are areas in our lives that need to be changed, Lord, then show us once again. Show us so that we may be children of light, so that we could stand in the midst of the oppression and of the battles, knowing that the battle is yours and you're going to win. In fact, you've already won, and we're waiting for your return. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this nation. Thank you for the godly people that you are putting in place. And thank you for the changes that will be going on in this nation, Lord. And let us not get proud and arrogant because of them. Lord, let us walk humbly before you, continually humbly before you, Lord. Let those who fear you, even in high political positions, walk in the fear of the Lord. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Crystal, for the scriptures. Appreciate that.